Good evening, one and all. I know, almost the end of March. I was just telling my guest I've lost track totally of days and months and weeks these now. But it's a Tuesday. I must be because I am here, and so is my guest for another book and a chat. And I tell you what, we're over 1,700 shows now. Just shows you, instead of writing books, I've been doing shows. But that's what's happened. But I am here, as I said, and so is my guest. Now, one of the things we always ask a guest when they come on is, were you writing little stories as soon as you could hold a crayon? Well, my guest today, she's done one more on that, and we'll find out when I introduce her. Because on the show today, I have the one and only, and I got to say the full name properly and everything like that. I know, I got to have Michelle Renée de Bellis. Hi, Michelle, how you doing?
Hi there. I really liked the way you rolled your R on
Ah,
Renee. That was
that's
very nice.
the old English roll of the R. I still do it all the time, I tell you. And
Quite nice.
when it
Quite
goes
nice.
to was it around the rugged rock, the ragged rascal ran, we used to have to do. I remember that well from
Ooh.
school. As I said, we ask people about whether, were they writing as soon as they hold a crayon sort of thing. But in your case, at the age of 10, you were told you are a writer. So that's even before that. Somebody, and it was your mother, but we won't tell that. But they said that you're a writer. That's because you did something with an essay at school, wasn't it?
Right. Well, I had the teacher had assigned us to write about an empty room, and I wrote about all the abstract things that were missing, primarily love, and about the loneliness that is in that absence. And the teacher said, "You did this wrong. This isn't what the assignment was." But I, in my little 10-year-old heart, knew that she was wrong,
She was,
that I
yeah.
had done well. And I took it home and I showed it to my mom, and she said, "You're a writer," just like you said. But before that, when I was sort of leading the playground squad, it was all about inventing games and the things that we would play using my imagination and creativity and then now using those things to tell amazing stories. It is so much fun.
But this is the thing. I always say that writers, you're not really a writer, you're a storyteller. And go
That's
back to the old,
right.
that's what we're doing, sitting there. And I remember when I was 9 or 10, I was at a camp, a scout camp, and there was a child that was feeling homesick and that, and I just told him stories all night. I remember it there distinctly, about a magic combine harvester it was. So, but I guess when you like that, you do, you create. You do your little stories, you do poetry, your plays, essays, and then finally, in your case, after all of that, and getting through, life's the main first things in life that you go through, you ended up writing your first novel finally.
Indeed. And for me, after trying all those various different mediums of writing, the novel is the thing that I love the absolute most, even though writing one is like writing a marathon that never ends. It feels like it's never going to end. It's for me, I love writing novels. I love reading novels.
Yeah, because you did the very clever thing. I mean, like most writers, you read lots and lots and lots, but you read lots of different genres to try and find the niche that you could write in.
Yes, I was always like, it would be like, this week I'm reading a science fiction book, and this reading book, I'm reading a classic. And then I went through months of, I only read the classics. And then now I only read, the most popular books, and just trying everything to know, what kind of book do I want to tell? How do I want to tell my story? And where, who can I learn craft from? You know what I mean? Like, the most important thing is the techniques you use to infuse the reader with an experience they want more of.
Exactly, and I totally agree with you and what you've done. But when I come ac we come across, several times we've come across writers who actually write four and five different genres, sometimes at the same time.
Amazing.
I could never get my head around that. Well, I wake up on a Monday and today I'm going to be the person who writes science fiction, or the Tuesday I'm going to write a historical romance, or even in the same day doing different genres.
Amazing.
I could never. My brain wouldn't cope.
My brain would explode.
Exactly. I mean, I'd be sitting there with different hats. Okay, so this is the hat when I write this. This is the hat when I write. But these people do. I mean, it just amazes me. When you finally sat down to write a novel. How did you plan it, and how much did the characters lead you through it?
Well, in the case of this story, it was so inspired. The book ultimately was born out of a piece of music that my husband began writing for his mother when she died suddenly. And my husband would sit down at a piano. We have this gorgeous piano in the house, and he would sit down and play this incredible piece of music, the most beautiful piece of music I've ever heard. And it's called Bird of Paradise. And as he was writing this song, it didn't, for the longest time, for years and years, it didn't make any progress. It didn't go anywhere. And around the same time, I was in a very difficult car accident. And I had surgery after surgery, and I was
Oh,
prescribed
crikey.
just prescription after prescription of Vicodin and Ambien and all the worst prescriptions you can imagine. And as I was getting addicted to the opiates, I began to imagine a story of a young man who had lost his mother in an accident that he survived, and then his way out of his grief and his addiction was to write this song that she had sent him from the other side. She sent him just the first four notes of the song. And throughout the book, this song, which is a real song that you can download on, Apple Music or Spotify, it's called Bird of Paradise by Dominic DeBellis. You've got to listen to it because it's just so stunning. But throughout the book, the song is very symbolic of where Santiago is in his journey to overcome his grief and his opiate addiction, which are both things that he faces. He doesn't try. There's no shortcuts to moving through grief and addiction. And I think the book is really instrumental in showing you that.
And that's very good that you, I mean, say good in a way, but the fact that you are able, I know it sounds terrible, I'm glad you had an accident. No. You can use
No.
you're speaking to it, speaking with it and writing from your own experience and using that to it's like I've had people on the show who've written books about abuse or a bit sexual, bit religious, any sort of things like that, or an illness and stuff like that. And what they're able to do is they put it in a novel, with the characters and that, based on their own experience. And when people who read it, who've been perhaps through a similar type of thing, a similar type of abuse, and again, in your case, perhaps somebody's gone through a similar sort of a family issue sort of thing. The fact that they put it as a character, when the person's reading it, they put themselves into that character because they're looking at it from their own experience, if you like. And it's so much better and it's so much more help to do something like that than get these, seven things not to do type book,
Well, exactly. And I love that about storytelling. We as human beings have been using storytelling since the beginning of speech to share experiences and teach lessons. And I feel like the lessons that we can share and heal people with through storytelling are just the most important.
And it's there's over I would say over the last 5, 10 years, however long I've been doing this, so 15, 14 years, there has been an increase in the number of people that are sitting down with a grandparent or found letters from, I don't know, their mum and their parents during the war and stuff like that, and
Oh.
putting that sort of experience down on paper, down into a book, so that these stories that have been passed perhaps from generations about an ancestor or something, what have you, are being kept and are able to be shared with the rest of the world, sort of thing, which I think is great. And some of these
It's a
stories,
beautiful thing.
they are, it's beautiful. Some of them you wouldn't believe. I mean, some of the things I've had on here, people written stories about, experiences and escapes, and things like that. You wouldn't believe it if you saw it in a film. It's they say that fact is stranger than fiction, and it is sometimes.
Yeah, no, sometimes you can't make this stuff up.
No, you just can't. And I think the fact that you've been, well, when you were writing it, did it bring back thoughts or memories that you sort of locked away? Did you sort of suddenly open up to
I would say to that there were whole drafts of this book that I thought sometimes, am I only writing this for my own therapeutic benefit? Because as I was putting the characters through the stretches and then going deeper to make it mean more, I was reaching deeper into myself and going,
right.
Oh, you wrote that because you're trying to heal and understand the trauma that you experienced here and here
Yes.
and here. And I thought, if all that this book ever is my own healing experience, then that will be a beautiful and worthwhile thing.
Lot of
But as I got
people.
into the next draft, I said, no, this is too good. It can heal too many other people and
Exactly.
entertain
Yeah.
too many more people.
Yeah, and number of times I hear this similar sort of thing, that, you know, they write it and it helped other people, but at the same time, it acted as a healing for themselves, which they didn't expect.
Yeah. No, I didn't know to expect that in the beginning. And like I said, I spent an entire draft going, oh, and it was a wonderful self-reflection.
The book about, you know, the music we make, it's multi-award winning. Better say that for a start. Not just award winning, multi-award winning for a debut book. Now, that's not bad for a start. But you said that this person, was he? He's a songwriter, isn't he? San Diego,
yeah.
D'Angelo.
Yeah.
And when the accident, without giving too much away, obviously, but the accident, there's an accident and he survives.
Yes.
And immediately, there's going to be guilt, isn't there?
There's guilt, and also the fact that his father essentially blames him for his mother's death, and that runs a stake through their relationship, which was already, you know, in a precarious way, because he had great expectations for him to take over the family architecture business, and that doesn't leave room for him to explore his musical career like he and his mother always knew was his purpose in life. So that his addiction to the opiates was, one, the physical addiction from healing from all of these surgeries and the physical pain, the loss of his mother, who was his great advocate in life, and then this pain with the separation between he and his father. And to him, the way that he was taking care of himself for a time was through the opiates.
Right.
But after a while, that wasn't the case anymore. And that's how I think a lot of addiction begins, is
yeah.
This is a way for me to take care of myself through this difficult experience. And then obviously it takes over, and the addiction starts speaking on your behalf. You know what I mean? And
yep.
You aren't able to make sane decisions any longer.
And you're able to bring that into, you know, with the music he writes, the music we make, as you say, into sort of like a bit of the seedier side of the pop world as well.
It really is, because, you know, when you mix drugs with your passion, it turns it into Hades. And
yep.
and these characters, there's Santiago D'Angelo, who's facing his opiate addiction, but then Kitty Holiday, who's the producer, songwriter, who has a hit single that she's put together and she wants Santiago to be the voice of. She has her own addictions and her own demons to bear. And when you take two people who are a bit broken, kind of like the story between Daisy Jones and Billy Dunn in Daisy Jones and the Six, you know, you can take two broken people who have their addictions, and it's not a recipe for a beautiful love affair. You know, it's
right.
a recipe for disaster. And but at the same time, it creates that experience of making music under the influence of love, under the influence of drugs. And it just makes for this incredible chemistry. It makes for this incredible music. And it also creates this experience where self-reflection is required, and they both need something to heal away from them.
That's good that you managed to bring the other side, not just, you know, bring Kitty's part in it as well, which I think is really good. You get it from both sides there. One of the things I find, even today, you know, I pick up one of my books or something like that, and I start reading it, and I'm sort of reading, I think, where did those words come from? I don't remember writing that. I don't use those words. Did you find that? Did you find that when you said you did sort of several copy, you know, versions of it? Did you sort of go back and think, I don't remember telling people that? It must have been sort of hidden away, and suddenly, you know, did I write that down? Did you come across that sort of thing?
You know, I think there are times when I open it up and I'll read something and I'll think, Wow, I said exactly what
Yeah.
I wanted to
Oh, that's
say.
it. That's great.
How did I pull it off? And I think the way I described it to myself is that when we have joy in our work and when we can enjoy the process, with when I'm writing every day and when I was especially finishing the last draft, I had so much joy in each day's work. And then when you have the goal of finishing, you would combine that goal with the joy and it creates enthusiasm, which ultimately means to be in God, to be with God, where all of our best work is created, that connection to all creativity. And then I'll read a passage and go, oh, I was with God when I wrote that. Like that was what I was trying to say, and I had to dig deep and find the enjoyment of the process of writing to come up with a passage like that. And I'm so glad, like you say, like you look back and go, did I do that? You know, and to me, I'm looking back and going with awe, oh,
You did. You did. And
that.
I might say, you have been compared to Jackie Collins.
You know, I was so excited when I got that review, and I said, in all the best ways. And I thought, oh my goodness, how marvelous, how marvelous. Because that's such entertaining storytelling, such captivating, entertaining storytelling, and that's what I want to be. I want people to pick up my work for that reason, but the other thing I aim for in being entertaining is to have some meaning there, some depth,
I mean, you obviously, as I was hinting at before, with the business of making people read it and put themselves in a position, you don't pussyfoot around. You tell it as it is, which I think is great, and people reading it will do the same. I mean, I've read books before where you sort of look, that doesn't happen. You don't do that sort of thing. Come on, bit of realism in it. And you from what I've read and the reviews and everything like that, you're able to do that, which has been great. No wonder you're now a multi-award winning author.
Yes, absolutely. I won the Literary Titans Book Award and in the Kirkus Star, and they put me on their 100 Best Books of 2022
Great.
list, and it was even nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, which blew my mind.
Crikey.
And it just feels so good to say, oh, I set out to do something. I found a way to love doing it, and loving doing it has brought me these amazing results.
Well, now you've done this, now you've got the music we make, are you starting on, or are you doing something else now?
So I've got a book I'm in the middle of writing. It's called Almost Perfect. That's the working title. And it's about a ballerina, and it has to do with the importance of finding your purpose
Right.
and staying close to it, and the trouble we kind of get ourselves into when we veer too far from our purpose. Because the way that I like to explain it is that whenever you're moving towards what you're supposed to do in life, there's resistance that comes in equal force. And that's why we're always so damn impressed when anyone pulls anything off and actually does anything, because it means they battled and won their own resistance. And this book is kind of a testament to the importance of winning over that resistance, because that resistance can lead you into hell and high water. And we all face it. We all face it.
And what about your husband's music?
My husband's music inspires me every day. He's writing some beautiful new songs to put into the new book. And I wake up and I hear him playing and I think, oh my God, it's going to happen again. I said, let's do it every time. Every time we'll have the correlation. How fun is that, right? A
Yeah,
song
right.
list
But
with the
if you
book.
get the audio version of the book, you can put the music in it as well, you know.
Well, and we do in the audio version of the book, which, to be honest with you, in my own personal opinion, is even better than reading it, because I narrate it. My husband directed it, and we had the most fun doing it. I do all
Good.
the voices
Oh,
and
love it.
act out
Love it.
all the parts, and it turned out so good. I'm so proud of it. But it's so much fun. And then each part, there's a little bit of the music, and at the end of it, you can hear the instrumental version, which is the only place you can hear that. It's the only place where you can hear the raw instrumental track. And of course, on Spotify and Apple Music and all that, you can hear the produced version,
Yeah.
which is incredible.
Nice,
You got to
very nice.
check it out.
I've got a note to listen to the music after, because I do have two music shows I run as well, so I'm going to make sure I
Well,
listen
you're
to
gonna have to play that. You should have Dominic on.
I got it marked here. But it's funny, you can get yourself in a bit of trouble doing things like that, because I once upon a time, or way back when, I used to, my aunt, my late aunt used to, she was a guide district commit, you know, county commissioner in England and stuff like that. And she put on shows, gang shows. And I sort of helped out, played drums there, you know, in the orchestra pit and stuff like that. But
Oh, you're a musician.
I play, I dabble in bits. But I wrote a sort for the brownies, for the sort of, what are they, 7 to 10 brownies. So I wrote a song for the brownies to sing, because the idea is that when you show like that, you want everybody to be a character, to be able to dress up and everything, you know, the little ones, it's great for it. Anyway, I wrote this song called Paddington's Birthday Do, about Paddington Bear having a birthday and all the people from
Oh.
Nursery Land came along and stuff like that. And what I did was, at the time, the song Lord of the Dance had just come out, or recently come out. So I used that tune, because, you know, I can't really write. Well, I suppose if I sat down long enough, I could write it. But yeah, so I used that tune, and they sang it, and they went on Thursday, Friday, and two shows on Saturday, all about all of you come to Paddington's birthday do, Rupert Bear and Noddy too, all at Paddington's birthday, that sort of thing, right? Anyway, they loved it. The kids loved it. Yeah, the parents loved it. All the kids were dressed up, singing along to it, and everything like that. Really sang well. Sunday was church parade for them, and for the first time at church, they actually had Lord of the Dance. There's the hymn, one of the hymns, you know. And
Oh.
the thing is, they started playing it, and all of a sudden, all the little ones started singing about Paddington Bear. The priest didn't know a thing. Oh, yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, and of course, all the leaders were laughing their heads off because they knew what it was about. So yeah, I got in a bit of trouble that
That's funny.
time. But no, I
That's
will make a
funny.
note of listening to that. Okay, time is catching up with us. So what I'm going to do now is hand over the show to you, and have you tell everybody where they can find more out more about you, and of course your book, The Music We Make.
Wonderful. Well, the best place to find out more about me is my website, michellerenedebellis.com. I'll spell it for you, MICHELLERENEDEBELLIS.com, or you can go to themusicwemake.com. That might be a little easier to remember, where you can buy a limited edition hardcover. That are absolutely gorgeous. I designed the cover, and in my own personal opinion, they're stunning, but that's what everyone else seems to
I
think.
like the cover. I do like the cover.
Isn't it great, Barry? It's
Yep,
so pretty.
it is.
And you can get a limited edition hardcover, which has all that beautiful gold foil on it, and you can also get the paperback there. And you can also, there's links to get to buy the Kindle and the Audible version. And again, the Audible version is a hoot. It's so much fun. And if you like audiobooks, you got to listen to that. Of course, you can find that on audible.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Michelle Renee DeBellis.
Well, Michelle, it's been great chatting to you. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
It was so much fun. I'm so glad you had me.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. Our guest today. I'll say her name again, Michelle Renee DeBellis. So MICHELLE, Renee, RENE, no acutes or graphs or anything, just RENE. And the last name is DE, then capital B. ELLIS, de, which is French for of, by the way. DeBellis. DeBellis. And you go to that with a dot com at the end, and you find a book, so you can find all about her and everything like that. Great stuff. And it's a book that a lot of people are finding, no wonder it's awarded so many awards, a lot of people are finding really interesting. A lot of people are finding it perhaps relates to stuff that they've been through, their lives have been through, something's happened in their life. And it's a book that or has to be from the awards. You know, a lot of people are really, really liking it. So I myself am looking forward to the next one, because I think that's going to be equally as good. Anyway, that's it for today. I will be back tomorrow with a fresh person. Let me see who we got tomorrow. We have Kelly Sullivan Walden tomorrow. So look forward to that. So that's 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Then, of course, don't forget Saturday, not Saturday, on Sunday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century, where we have a theme and put the music by the theme. And I can tell you now, I haven't created it yet, but this week's theme is Carpenters. Not just the group. I know you always think the Carpenters, oh, that's easy. But a whole show to do with Carpenters? Have a think. And then, of course, after that, from 6 to 7pm, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s from around the world. So that's it now. As always, we have one thing left to say. Don't